Now we're going to hear from Steve Moses, who's the president of the Center for Long-Term Care, and he will be addressing us.
Well, thank you, Taryn, and thank you to the Empire Center and EJ McMahon and everyone else who made it possible for me to be here. So thrilled to be here. Weather's turning bad in Seattle, but it's gorgeous here. We actually have trees turning colors already there, and I didn't notice many here. So I have a handout for you. I think you got it. It's some congressional testimony I did defending Congressman Roscoe Bartlett from some criticism in the media he got for the Deficit Reduction Act. But because that doesn't deal specifically with model programs in other states, I would refer you to our website at centerltc.com, where you can find a report I did called The Realist Guide to Medicaid and Long-Term Care. That study develops an analytical profile to help people understand what works and what doesn't in Medicaid long-term care. And it ranks five states as being among the better and five states as being among the worst Medicaid long-term care programs. I'll leave you guessing to the end of my presentation here which category New York falls in, but I don't think you're going to like the news. First of all, I don't want to spend a lot of time setting the stage. I figure you understand the demographics, the baby boom generation coming on, a $10, $12 trillion unfunded liability with Social Security, $84 trillion unfunded between Social Security and Medicare. And I don't think anybody's even run the numbers on Medicaid yet. It doesn't even have a phony trust fund like Social Security and Medicare, where there are a bunch of IOUs that are going to have to be made good later. Long-term care, I often describe as the 800-pound gorilla of social problems that's waiting just around the next bend in public policy. Even if we do deal with Social Security and Medicare, we've got that to look forward to. But fortunately, everything works really well here in New York, so I can just conclude by saying, you know, nice going. I wish it were that simple. Now, let me give you just some facts about specific to New York, taken off the AARP website. Between 2002 and 2020, New York's percentage of population 85-plus will grow from 1.7% to 2.3%. Now, why is that important? Well, people over the age of 85 are the ones that need long-term care. New York is number one in the country in these three categories: total Medicaid spending, $38.5 billion. This is as of 2003. Long-term care spending per capita, $815 versus a national average of $288, almost three times the national average. Home and community-based services spending per capita, $317, over three times the $95 United States average. The Medicaid nursing home reimbursement rate is $172 versus a private pay rate, if there were any private payers, which I don't think there are anymore, but if they were, they would pay $260. That's two-thirds of the private pay rate, and it just underscores what studies have shown, that Medicaid underpays nursing homes nationally, $4.5 billion, and over $13 per bed day. Medicaid as a primary pay, as the primary payer in New York, 74% versus 66% on the average nationally. Many, many more people depended on Medicaid for their long-term care here. Medicare, also the same, 11.9% as opposed to 11.3%. And what is especially telling, the other, which includes insurance, private pay, and other stuff, 14.4% in New York versus 22.4% nationally. New York has very low estate recoveries. It's very, very easy to get on the long-term care program. I don't think I don't know if it's changed, but for a long time, there were not even any transfer of assets penalty for qualifying for home health care. So you could get home health care until you needed a nursing home, and by then you could have given away all the assets and qualified. So the eligibility is very easy. You've got a thing here called spousal refusal, or just say no. It's crazy. And I hope somebody will ask me in the question period about that, because I can tell you the derivation of that. It was never intended as an entitlement to long-term care, allowing people to give away money and qualify. It was designed as a protection just in case maybe a spouse might someday disavow any responsibility. Then you've got a thing called the Long-Term Care Compact coming out of the Medicaid planning bar, which proposes to relieve the situation a little bit by requiring people with a lot of money to pay the first $300,000 of their cost of care. After that, you know, their $10 million is protected. That's not a big help. I call it the Medicaid Estate Planners Reemployment Act, because it, I think, responds to some constraints in Medicaid long-term care that we placed with the Deficit Reduction Act recently. Now, what's wrong with long-term care? This is the most important message that I can send to you. We've done this to ourselves. Good intentions, but perverse incentives in the public policy. And I analyze it this way. I call this the welfare paradigm. Maybe you've heard of this before. People are living longer, dying slower. It's very expensive. They spend down into impoverishment, and thankfully we have a safety net to catch them, but that safety net is fraying. We got a real problem. Well, if people were spending down into impoverishment all across the country, wouldn't you expect them to be a little concerned about it? I would think so, but the public is in denial about long-term care. You'd think that they would seek out the lowest cost care, the most uninstitutional that they could get. Home care should be a thriving industry. It's not. We have a nursing home bias, and it's been in place for 40 years. You would think that people would go to their biggest asset, the home, to find the resources to allow them to stay at home. They don't. Reverse mortgages are beginning to take off, but not driven by long-term care. And you would think that people would do the same thing they do with every other catastrophic risk in their life. They would buy insurance, but they don't. For some reason, the market for long-term care insurance in this country is under 15% penetration. So, what do you suppose is going on? Well, look at it from the other standpoint. Just imagine that what we really have is not a welfare paradigm, analytical model, but an entitlement paradigm. In other words, that goes like this. In America today, you can ignore the risk of long-term care, avoid the premiums for private insurance, wait until you get sick, and somebody will pay, never mind who, because that's the level of consciousness the public has about long-term care. They don't know who pays for long-term care. They don't know if it's Medicaid, Medicare, or Santa Clause, nor do they care because somebody does pay, so they never reach the level of consciousness to be concerned about it. Now, this is especially true in New York, where you already have national social health insurance for long-term care. Well, if the entitlement paradigm is true, then does it make sense that people are in denial? Well, sure. You know, what me worry? I don't know who pays, but somebody must. Would you expect people to seek out home care instead of nursing home care? Well, in most states, nursing home care is what you get for free from Medicaid. In New York, you not only get that for free, you get home care for free. And, of course, the system is busting at the seams for cost, but that should come as no surprise. Would you tap the equity in the home? Well, I shouldn't think so. Medicaid exempts the home and all contiguous property. I used to say regardless of value. Now, thanks to the Deficit Reduction Act, it will be limited. I gather in New York you took the higher option to $750,000, so you'll no longer have real estate millionaires on Medicaid, but Well, if you enforce it. I'm not sure about the status of that. And long-term care insurance. You got very low market penetration in long-term care insurance in New York, and that should be no surprise. There's basically no obstacle to qualifying for Medicaid and no effective estate recovery program, and the state-level people don't know what the county-level people are doing. So, bottom line, consumer behavior makes perfect sense under those circumstances. People are not concerned about long-term care, and the piper will have to be paid at some time. Now, I gave you the entitlement paradigm, but I haven't given you any proof that it's true. Let me just quickly go through that. You understand there is no limit on how much income you can have and get Medicaid to pay for your long-term care in New York. Is that clear? I mean, you probably heard you have to be poor. Well, you start with a person's income, deduct their medical expenses, including private nursing home care, coinsurance and deductibles for Social Security, coinsurance and deductibles for Medicare, and all of the medical expenses seniors have that Medicare doesn't pay for, eye care, dental care, foot care, still some pharmaceuticals. And if you still, if that gets you down to near the poverty level in most states, I'm not sure what the level is here, you're eligible for Medicaid. In other words, you don't have to be poor by any stretch of the imagination. All you have to have is a cash flow problem. And that's why the asset limits are so critical. Now, maybe you haven't heard this before, but you can have unlimited assets and qualify for Medicaid. There's no cap. You've probably heard you have to spend down to $3,500 or $4,500 or whatever it is here, usually $2,000 in most states. Well, but that ignores the fact that you can have a home and all contiguous property worth up to $750,000. You can have a business, including the capital and cash flow of unlimited value. You can have an automobile of unlimited value, and it's exempt, so you could give it away, and it wouldn't be a transfer of assets to qualify and buy another one. We call that the two Mercedes rule. On top of that, you can have prepaid burials of unlimited value. If you ever wanted your very own pyramid, this is your chance. And, of course, if you're married, you get an extra cut, $2,500 in income and $99,540 in assets, half the joint assets not to exceed that amount. And if your assets are lower, well, New York's going to protect $75,000 of them for you. And I haven't even mentioned the egregious Medicaid planning, the fancy legal techniques to take it skyrocketing from those already extremely generous levels. Well, let me deal with an issue that comes up by way of further evidence. Medicaid, at 44.3% of nursing home costs, that's about what it was in 1988, it hasn't changed much. Medicare is at 13.9%, up from 1.8%. So between the two of them, they've gone up 13% or so of the total cost of nursing home care, whereas out-of-pocket costs are down to 28% from 39% in 1988. So you see what's happening? Medicaid and Medicare, as a funder of nursing home care, has gone way up, whereas out-of-pocket costs have gone way down. Now, those out-of-pocket costs are deceiving, however. You rarely see it reported that over half of the cost of out-of-pocket spending for nursing, that's not people paying private pay, pumping generous funds at the private pay level into nursing homes. No, that's just people who are already on Medicaid who have to contribute their Social Security income toward their cost of care. So when you add all those things up, you're around 90 to 95% government-funded long-term care in this country, and it's no wonder you don't have any long-term care insurance market. And it's no wonder, of course, there's no reverse mortgage market for funding long-term care, and it's no wonder your Medicaid program is going bankrupt for any number of reasons, but long-term care particularly. It's roughly the same thing, speaking of Medicare, speaking of home health care. Medicare paid $13.8 billion in 2004, and only 11.3% of home health care costs, $1 out of $9, are paid out of pocket. Medicare and Medicaid pay almost 70%, and private health insurance another 12%. So people simply just don't feel at risk. Excuse me. Bottom line, what we've done with Medicaid is changed it from a safety net for the poor to an inheritance insurance, free inheritance insurance for the baby boom generation. And this is just nuts because the baby boom generation is the very generation we need to somehow awaken to the vulnerability, fiscal vulnerability of the future when our network of social insurance programs is going to be very challenged. I don't think they'll disappear. I just think they'll be means tested six ways to Sunday, which will mean that things that we've all counted on being there in the past won't be there in the future. Well, here's the bottom line. The welfare paradigm is wrong and the entitlement paradigm is right. It's no wonder people can evade the high cost of long-term care indefinitely. No wonder they end up in nursing homes on Medicaid or getting extended home health care from Medicare. It's no wonder people don't plan early and save, invest, or insure. And it's no wonder they think long-term care insurance is unaffordable. Now, what do we do? Well, we tried just about everything under the sun. We tried closing loopholes, mandating estate recoveries. We even threw Granny in jail for a while. That blew up in the politician's face. They repealed that law and replaced it with throw Granny's lawyer in jail, which was then unenforceable for the simple reason that you can't hold an attorney legally culpable for recommending something to a client that's legal again since you repealed throw Granny in jail. I concluded that these after-the-fact punitive approaches just wouldn't work, so I've been advocating for getting the money up front. We need to eliminate the home equity exemption under Medicaid, or at least get it down to the level that it is in the socialized healthcare programs in Europe. England only lets you keep $36,000 worth of home equity before they will give you assistance with your long-term care costs. We need to take that transfer of assets penalty, which they just grudgingly moved from 3 years to 5 years, and get it out to 10 years, which is the look-back period for asset transfers to qualify for Medicaid in Germany, another socialized healthcare system. If we do those two things and send the message strong enough. Well, the transfer of assets look back period is critical because the average period of time in from onset to death in Alzheimer's disease is 8 years. So when you've got a 3 year, 5 year look back, there's more than enough time. And of course, in New York, if there's no transfer of assets on home care, you just go there first and then qualify later. So we need to educate people about the risk of long-term care and convince them that they are personally responsible and will be at risk, because they certainly don't understand that to be true now, and more importantly, it isn't true. If you do that, most people will see the light. They'll do what they do on every other catastrophic risk, and they'll buy insurance. If they don't, there is a reverse mortgage industry out there. 83% of seniors own their homes. 74% of those own them free and clear. There's $2 trillion out there in the economy that's going untapped to purchase quality long-term care for seniors for the simple reason that Medicaid insures it for free. Once home equity is at risk, that people will buy the long-term care insurance, and if they don't, they'll use their home equity, and that's a win-win for everybody. We'll have middle-class seniors getting better care as private payers. The poor will get better care because fewer will be on Medicaid. Long-term care insurance will take off. That means more jobs and more tax revenue. Home equity conversion will take off. Again, more jobs and more revenue. Home community-based services infrastructure will grow because it'll have some private financing, financial oxygen. Nursing homes' fiscal condition will improve, which means better care. Taxpayers will feel relief. Medicaid can be saved as a safety net for people truly in need. And the baby boom generation would be protectable. Now, I gave you a handout on the Deficit Reduction Act. The Deficit Reduction Act is a baby step, but at least it's going in the right direction. We moved the transfer of assets look-back period from 3 to 5 years. We capped the home equity for the first time. We eliminated the half a loaf Medicaid planning strategy, the single most common strategy of the people who artificially impoverish folks for a living. And we've constrained some of the most egregious loopholes, such as those surrounding annuities and self-canceling installment notes and so on. So I invite you to read the handout, which goes into detail on that, but I would remind you this. If the states don't implement it, if the feds don't enforce it, and if the media don't publicize it, and if we can't get the insurance industry and the lenders playing their part, consumer behavior won't change. That's what happened in Ober in 93. Let's not let it happen again. This problem that we have with long-term care is self-inflicted by well-intentioned and perversely counterproductive public policy, and it can go away overnight. All you have to do is think it through clearly and have the will to make the changes. Thank you.